to episode 7 of Dumb Nerd Thing. I'm your host, Teddy, and today we're talking about a very special thing, as we talk about every week, sports. Sports, what are they? What do they do? Where do they come from? None of those things will be answered in today's podcast. However, I'm talking with my friend Henry. He's a very sporty guy, done, you know, been in sports all his life. Oh, yeah, you can really tell. I did have a little bit of an interaction with sports. You know, I did running in grade school and cheerleading in high school. But I never really got into the culture of football and basketball and following along with March Madness and all that going on. But I always looked on it with, you know, kind of this interest of it's something nerdy. It is something super, super nerdy where you memorize these facts and figures and all this stuff, and it's people loving something, and that's what this podcast is all about. So the episodes with Henry, he's a great guy. You know, he can talk for hours about your March Madness bracket. So hit him up on Twitter if you want some advice on your bracket. Otherwise, enjoy the episode. Henry?
Henry. I don't care.
Yeah. You know, Henry, H-Bomb, I don't know.
H-Bomb.
You got any nicknames?
People call me Hank.
Hank?
That comes from sports. So there was a famous baseball player. His name was Henry Hank Aaron. I played baseball all my life up until, high school, and so people called me Hank, and it just kind of stuck, regardless. People in the office call me Hank.
Mm-hmm.
My buddies from back home call me Hank. So, not just baseball, but, that kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm. So wait, just because you liked Hank Aaron, or
not even that? It's just
Henry Hank Aaron,
that type of nickname. So
nice. Well, that segues perfectly into the topic of today. With this podcast, it's all about dumb nerd things, and everybody's got a dumb nerd thing. But dumb nerd things don't have to be stereotypically nerdy.
Yeah,
sports are hella nerdy. There's numbers and stats and all these things that go into it, and it's loving something. So you said you did baseball all through your life.
Yeah.
How and when did you start that?
So it wasn't just baseball. I think I was a 3 or 4 sport athlete for most of my life up until 8th grade probably. So it was basically, it's a seasonal thing. Mm-hmm. So, I guess if we're starting in the fall, football was the fall sport. You play that all the way up into the end of November, and then that's when basketball season kicks in. So basketball season ran until end of February. By the end of February, you're starting baseball. And then baseball runs probably the longest sport until March until July. I did soccer for a little bit in time, elementary school, middle school. Mm. But 90% of the time, all three of those sports overlapped. So yeah, you're running from one sport to the other and things like that. So, I mean, probably as early as I can imagine, I'd say before kindergarten. So, 4 or 5 years old was when I started soccer, was my very first sport.
Yeah. So was there one that you gravitated more towards?
Probably, soccer was always something I wasn't that into, but I'd probably say football. Mainly because, I don't know, it was probably the most popular sport here in the U.S., but naturally I was just better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of why I gravitated towards it, but I didn't really notice that until, I'd say, high school.
Mm-hmm.
I played the other three sports just as much.
Mm-hmm. What position did you play in football?
All over. So I played defense and I played offense. I thought I was going to be a quarterback, so the quarterback's kind of like the head honcho on the mm-hmm. team. Until I got to high school, I was actually pretty good. And in high school, I was terrible at it. I probably set the record for the most interceptions. So that's not a good thing when you throw the ball to the other team. And so I probably set the unspoken record for the amount of interceptions my freshman year.
Huh.
But besides that, I think I finished my high school career playing outside linebacker, on defense. And then I played like tight end, so like kind of a receiver position, fullback, so all over the place, I guess. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so when you get to high school and you're disillusioned from the dreams of being a quarterback,
yeah.
Kind of where does that kind of reset you to what you want to do with it?
I always knew that like I wasn't talented enough to mm-hmm. go like professional. And I think that, I don't know, I think that was something that I knew from like an early age that like I love it and like, but I'm not going to be that kid that's going to go put in like the extra like 100 hours that, you know, just going kicking the ball around to try to get better. Like I'm doing it because I enjoy it, because it was fun, because all my buddies did it. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of camaraderie thing. So like in high school, it was just kind of a disillusion of like I couldn't play quarterback. So it was basically just where the team needed me.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, and so that's kind of when like I got a couple offers like coming out of high school, but like I just knew like they were small, like community college, stuff like that. So it was kind of like from the very beginning I knew that I wasn't gonna go pro with it.
Sure. Yeah, I think there's often like a misconception of like sports are the end goal of sports is going professional or like going in college and being whatever, but there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
otherwise, people wouldn't do it all the time.
I think, like, if you look at the percentages on, like, the people that go pro, there's, like, I think there's, like, probably 300,000 or 400,000 athletes in college, and less than 1% of those people go pro.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in all different sports, there's that many athletes, and then less than 1% of those go pro. In high school to college, like, that number is, you know, just as big. It's, like, less than 2% of high school athletes, there's probably like millions of those, less than 2% of those go to college. So like, that's like a huge thing that like, just by the pure percentage basis, then like, you're just not likely to go play
mm-hmm.
in college and even pros.
Yeah. So like, so that means like when you're playing it, you know, it's just kind of for fun, like you said, just with your buddies,
mm-hmm.
keeps you in shape, it's a fun thing to do. So like, are there any memories or like, little accomplishments you had from back then that still kind of stick with you?
Well, if you want me to open up the yearbook.
But, yeah.
I guess, like, that was the biggest thing of just, like, having, like, all of my best friends played the same sports that I did. And so, is literally, we had nothing else to do. So, like, after practice, like, we would just sit and talk for, like, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't have anywhere to go. We didn't have anything to do. And so, like, we just sit and talk about practice and like this and that. And so like just hanging out with like, that was probably the closest I've ever got with people. Just like talking about sports because like you wake up, you have weights in the morning at like 6 a.m. Then you typically have like a weights class during college or during high school. And then you got practice for like 2 hours after that. And obviously you have the games. Then you have film like after time. So like you're spending probably like upwards of like 5, 6, 7 hours with these people on a daily basis. For like at least 4 or 5 months, mm-hmm. not including the off season. So like you get really close to the people, whether you like it or not. So that's probably like the biggest memory, and like what I'd miss the most about it, of just like how close I got. And like in terms of like memories, my favorite memory, if I'm just talking purely football, we were the first round of the playoffs my senior year, and my school hadn't won a playoff game in I think like 6 years. And we played at our stadium and it was covered in mud. So like they called it like the Swamp Bowl because it was literally, it had rained 3 straight nights before and the entire field there, you couldn't see grass. It was all mud. And so we destroyed the team. It was a huge rival of ours. I remember like coming down, I was just covered in mud.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, there's like this picture of me, like I was holding the trophy, like covered head to toe in mud. And so that was really cool. For me, in terms of that. So
nice.
So that was
nice.
Probably the biggest football memory.
Hey, congrats on the win.
Thanks.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, now we can close the yearbook. So.
Yeah. So then what were some differences between playing sports, and it doesn't have to be football, but playing sports in middle school and then high school and then college?
I think in terms of, like, just, like, the competitiveness, that's when I kind of noticed that, like, you know, hey, I'm just, like, not as talented as some of these people. And so that was probably the difference of like just how fast the game moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like the better you get, what they say is like the game slows down. But, like, the game was just really fast for me, like, as I just got older, and so you have to adapt. College is a little bit different because I didn't play in college. Mm-hmm. If, like, if you were talking about intramurals, like, mm-hmm. everyone's out of shape, you know, type of atmosphere. But, like, you know, high school and, like, what I've seen just watching college, like, it's just so much faster than
yeah.
So that was the biggest, and just, like, the competition level. Like, obviously people just get better,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
So then when you are in college, then it's just more of, like, it's just the camaraderie of with people of, like, watching yeah. and hanging out or, like, playing a game
yeah.
or something.
I think for that, it was, like, probably just, like, the love of the game.
Yeah.
Like, you play the intramurals, and it's just, like, you know, I'm not going to go pro with this. Like, I'm just, like, hanging out with the guys on, like, a Tuesday night, and, you know, we're throwing the football around. You know, obviously just, like, I'm super competitive, so, like, I want to win. But, like, at the end of the day, it's, like, you know, great. Like, sorry I didn't mm-hmm. win, or sorry I didn't, like, you know, lose or whatever. So, like, that was, like, the big thing in college. Just, like, yeah, it's just you're playing it for the love of the game. Like, it's, you know, an excuse to stay in shape and things like that. So that's the main reason in college. For the most
the
part.
Real win was the friendships we made along the way.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So then when you were in college, you're hanging out, love the game, and you're also doing things like March Madness.
Yeah.
And you're making brackets.
Huge thing.
Talk yeah. to me about your brackets.
So in March every year, college basketball, the NCAA tournament, they have this annual bracket. So it's 64 teams. It used to be 64 teams. It's 68 teams now. They go into this bracket, and it's basically like all schools from across the nation, like young and old. And there's or not young and old, but like bigger and smaller. And there's different qualifications on, like, how you can qualify for this. But everyone, you fill out a bracket. And so a bracket's, like, there's 64 teams. You're basically predicting how these games are going to end up. And they've gone through the math a million times, but it's 1 in 3 trillion odds to get a perfect bracket. So no one's ever done it. No one's okay. ever going to do it. Warren Buffett announces that if anyone to ever to get a perfect bracket, he's going to give you $1 million.
Wow.
So he offers that up every year.
Yeah.
But it's almost like in spite because he knows the odds.
Yeah.
He's
like just a dick move.
Yeah. But it's not like, you know, so that doesn't discourage people from filling out brackets because I guarantee you anyone that ever fills out a bracket, they're always like, this is the perfect bracket. Like, this is what's going to happen. Like, whether yeah. you like wholeheartedly believe that or not, like you do it because you're like, hey man, like, I'm a huge Kansas Jayhawk fan, so I always pick them to win it all. They don't win it all every year, obviously, and that uh-huh. it's a huge heartbreak. But, like, you know, it's just fun to fill out a bracket.
Mm-hmm. So what goes into the, like, what's the thought process when you're filling out your bracket besides your favorite team?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people, like, there's so many different ways, like, because, like, it honestly doesn't matter since there's just such little probability that you're going to do it. Like, you have a better chance of winning the lottery twice than a perfect bracket. So, like, there's no strategy. I mean, like, some guys like me think that they've watched college basketball throughout the year, that they know and things like that. But, like, on any given day, anyone can win. So, like, I've seen people, they pick it by which mascot would win in a fight. They've done it. Which color jersey they like better. Some people solely just flip a coin mm-hmm. and do that. And, like, you would have just as much odds as me actually watching every single college basketball game. So you would have, not knowing anything about college basketball, mm-hmm. you could flip a coin for every single game, and I could watch every game this year, and you would have just as much probability. Like, no joke.
Okay. So then what's, so then when you're watching this and you're doing these, like, you know the stats of these people and you know who's playing and who's playing better, is that like, discouraging or anything? Or is, like, where is the enjoyment if you don't think you're going to get the bracket? You know, if it's not going to benefit you that way, what is the benefit?
I think the benefit is that, like, naturally we've all – like, you know, just America loves to gamble, so they mm-hmm. put in the money. And so, like, naturally, most people would get together and, like, just put together a pool of brackets. So, like, me, my friends, and, like, all the, like, we chip in $5, everyone fills out a bracket. And so, like, that's the big thing of, like, why you fill out the bracket, because you're like, I know I'm not going to get a perfect bracket, but, you know, maybe by some stroke of luck that I'm going to win this pool mm-hmm. and having the best bracket or, like, the most correct bracket.
Okay.
So that's the main reason why people fill it out, and, like, why people are so competitive about it.
Gotcha, gotcha. So, like, another episode I did of this was about pro wrestling, and that's, you know, that's sports entertainment, and there's, like, it's about the story, you know, yeah. And, like, it's about putting on the best show, and, like, people are invested in the wrestlers as, like, characters.
Yeah.
And how much do you think that is a part of the appeal of real live sports that are actually competing, where you're following these players and their lives, and, you know, if there's a scandal, or if, you know, they're doing better, or if they're traded to another team, and
yeah.
How much do you think that's, like, factors in?
I think that's a huge thing. I mean, like, there's, like, so much more to sports than, like, just following the game mm-hmm. on, like, a Sunday or whatever game of the week that sport decides to play. I'm like, yeah, you're basically following these people. Like, you know, obviously pro is probably a little bit more personal because there's a lot fewer pros. In, like, college, there's a lot of turnover
mm-hmm.
just because obviously people graduate. But, like, on a pro basis, then, yeah, you definitely follow, you know, those people a lot more just because there's a few of them, and, like, you know, you're always updated of, like, what trades or, you know, what they're doing. And it's like, I think, like, just the culture of, like, the sports industry, that they're just as bad as the tabloids, that, like, the second anyone, like, does something, that it's automatically sent to my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think that's the big thing of, like, I don't know, it's almost, yeah, it's like entertainment, but it's, yeah, like, just talking points of people that enjoy sports. It's like, oh, hey, did you see so and so, like, they did this, or this person got traded here. So
mm-hmm.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, totally. Okay. I was gonna ask about, like, then, like, what are some players, or you mentioned Kansas,
yeah,
like, that you like to follow?
Yeah. I guess, well, like, that's just the fun thing, is that, like, that's a little bit of, like, so the camaraderie that you feel, like, you know, when I played in high school and, like, all my buddies, like, you also feel that camaraderie of people that, like, you're fans or fans with. So, like, it's pretty cool, like, if I'm at, like, Midway Airport and I see someone, like, wearing a Kansas hat, like, I'll probably say, like, rock chalk, which is, like, kind of the chant that Kansas mm-hmm. is, and so, like, they'll probably reciprocate it. So that's, like, the cool camaraderie of, like, people, like, following the sports, the people that you like at any point in time. Like, there's a Kansas bar that people go to, like, it's up in Wrigley.
Oh.
So, like, a couple of my friends have invited me to that. Right. Like, last Saturday they invited me. So, like, that's, like, the cool camaraderie that you, even though you're not playing the sport, this the team that you're playing or cheering for, like, there's camaraderie there too. So that's the cool thing about it.
Huh, that's so funny, because there's a Kansas, you know, college
yeah.
sports bar, and there's also, like, there's Replay is the, like, video game
yeah,
bar,
yeah.
and there's, like, Game of Thrones night, and
yeah.
then there's, like,
going on right now,
you know, like, Chicago Bears night, you know,
yeah.
at another bar, like,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, like, there's one down, like, even just two blocks south of here,
mm-hmm.
There's, like, a Michigan State, so, like, Michigan State University, there's a Michigan State bar, and, like, mm-hmm. over, like, not too far, like, there's, the Michigan State, and then there's Purdue, so Purdue University in Indiana, like, there's, like, all kinds of, like, college bars, and
mm-hmm.
fandom, so it's a real thing.
Yeah. So what's kind of going on in the world of sports right now?
So March Madness, obviously,
right now,
which is a cool thing. So, like, when Loyola was, you know, making their run, so last year Loyola, first time in the NCAA tournament in, like, 20-30 years, they made a run to the Final Four. So
mm-hmm.
obviously it's in the name, so there was four teams left in the whole country of college basketball that were playing for the national title. So Loyola was one of those. And so that was what's going on right now. And so everyone's playing to get into the tournament. So they have, within sports, getting very specific, each of these teams are paired into different conferences.
Based off,
like, where they are in the country, how big their schools are. And so they're all paired together in these conferences, and everyone's playing in these conference tournaments. And the winner of these conference tournaments go into the NCAA tournament, so the March Madness. So everyone, this first week of March, everyone's playing to get into the tournament. And then next week, everyone will be playing in the tournament. The tournament typically is about, I think it's like a three-week-long thing. So the first weekend, it's a four-day thing of the first and second rounds, and then the weekend after that, it's the second or the third and fourth round, and then the last one is the Final Four and the National Championship. So it's about 3 weeks long. So that's what's going on right now in the world of sports. That's what everyone's paying attention to.
And you've got your bracket ready or no?
So they haven't. So it's
so you have to wait.
So
until
they have to wait it. So they it's a huge thing. So like on not this coming Sunday, but the next Sunday, they do what's called Selection Sunday, and basically they like reveal the bracket of like who's in the tournament. And so there's locks that people that qualify, but then there's also at large people that like get to qualify just based off their record. So it's a huge show. It's like a 2 hour long thing every Sunday, like the I can't remember, it's like the 17th of March this year. And basically they'll announce like who's in the tournament or who's not in the tournament. So so that's like, you know, that's selection, that's Selection Sunday. So the net, that was when the brackets are unveiled, and that's when the tournament like starts.
Gotcha.
I guess so. Okay. A couple weeks. That's when I fill out the bracket. I watch it live, and I feel like I have an empty bracket filled out every year. I write in everyone that's in, and then I fill it out. So,
okay.
So that's what I do every year.
Nice. And you set it up with your friends and family.
Yeah.
Nice.
So like, yeah, I've had like I said, for like 14 years now, like since sixth grade, I've put together a bracket pool. So basically just saying, like, texting friends and family, and you can do it on, like, Yahoo or ESPN, and basically just saying, like, hey, I'll send you an email, you fill out your bracket online, Venmo me $5, at the end of the 3 weeks, whoever wins, whoever gets the best bracket, you get the pot. So I've been doing that with, like, typically anywhere from, like, 20 to, like, I think the most I've ever had was, like, 55 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big pot.
Yeah. It's a big pot. Like, what, 250, 300 bucks that people win, but as little as, like, 100. And, like, you know, the money's nice, but, like, it's really just people doing it and just, like, fun. Like, oh, well, you know, what's $5 to fill out a bracket? And if you want to fill out a second bracket, it's $5 more. So, you know, it's just more way to get money and just, you know, people kind of following around. Like, my grandparents fill out brackets. Like, my grandma's a huge basketball fan. I text her, like, I was texting her last night about it. So like they follow along online and they're like, oh, like we're in like sixth place or whatever. So it's just kind of a fun thing to talk about, like whoever's in your pool, you just talk about, you know, that, I guess.
Nice. Have you won
many times? I've won once. Me leading it, if you win too many times, people get skeptical.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I've won once, and then like, you know, a lot of family has won like since then, and a couple of my friends, things like that. So
you don't fudge the numbers or anything?
I don't fudge the numbers. I did fudge it freshman year because my roommate won. I didn't really like my roommate. so I told him he actually won less money than he did. Mainly because I didn't like him, but it was like $15 that I didn't pay him. So it's, you know, but besides that, I don't fudge the numbers. So
I'm sure he's not listening.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Hope not.
Okay. So then, what are some misconceptions? We can start with basketball.
Gotcha.
About basketball playing or watching.
Sports in general, like, I think, like, it's almost like the opposite misconception of, like, sports are nerdy. Like, people, I think that's a misconception of people inside, like, the sports world, I guess. And also, like, outside of it, I think, like, it's the same, like, fandom as, like, people that are really obsessed with Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like, people obsessed with, you know, anime and things like that. And so, like, it's the same thing. I mean, there's no difference. So I think people inside of that misconceive that, and then I think people outside of that misconceive it. So it's a two-way street that, like, you know, you're just as big as fan as, like, what's going on because it's a performance of people, not you, that you are watching. And so, and you are obsessed with it. You want to, you know, dress up with him. So I have jerseys of my favorite players and things like that.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a misconception, like, on a two-way street, I guess.
Totally. I just realized I'm wearing a Batman t-shirt and you're wearing a Final Four t-shirt.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like, with, like... It's the same thing, yeah.
This is literally, like, the only apparel that I have. So, like, I imagine you're the same way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I only have, like, Kansas City Chiefs stuff, Loyola gear, like... all that type of stuff, like, that's really all I own, and that's all I wear. So, that's, you know, that's all I wear.
Yeah, I mean, wearing jerseys of your favorite players, that's just cosplay, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Going to the games is just like going to a convention or whatever.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, my family, we do a bracket for the Oscars.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, 1 year, they get really into it. I'm a little, not as much, but, like, they, like, once did, like, black tie event, like, just in our apartment. Like, it's that's just hilarious. Getting super into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the funny part about it. I think there's also just, like, so much, like, I think a lot of misconceptions, like, how much money is in sports.
Mm.
Like, I think that's, like, it's a weird thing. But, like, so the NCAA, this, like, the March Madness, like, they profited, like, $1 billion off of just sports alone.
Yeah.
So that's, like, I think there's, like, how much, it's, like, a huge industry of, like, just how much money there really is. You know, like, there's, and then, like, so there's a baseball player named Bryce Harper. Used to play for the Washington Nationals out in D.C. He just got paid, it was a 13-year contract for $300 million.
Jesus.
So, like, I think that's what people don't realize is just, like, how much money is in these industries. Like, how much these sports teams actually profit from, like, you know, you going, because, like, compared to, like, a theater of you, like, watching, like, Hamilton or whatever, or, like, the Oscars, like, you know, times that by, like, X, like, a sports stadium can hold up to 50,000 people. So, like, huge amount of people, and, like, they're all paying, like, $100 to go watch this game. I think that's a misconception as well. It's, like, just how much money goes into these sports, and, like, how much, like, just from, like, team to team or fan to team is just circulating for team to player. That's a huge misconception.
Yeah, it is crazy out there. I mean, it's infectious to, like, go to these games. Like, like, when we were at Loyola, like, I didn't follow the
basketball team
at all. And then we were in the Final Four, and I was like, oh, shit, this is pretty cool.
Wow, like, why are people crowding around in Damon? Like, what are they doing?
I want to go crowd around in Damon, and I did, and it was awesome.
That's cool.
It's, like, it's super infectious. I went and watched it, you know, at a bar and all that. It's just, like, that camaraderie. Yeah, it's just... Yeah.
I think that's the cool thing about sports is that, like, even if you're not, like, a big sports fan, like, people will still, like, kind of, like, hover around it, whether they just dive all in or, you know, they just dip their toes in it. Like, you know, the Super Bowl, I think, is a huge, like, reference that, like, you know, majority of people, whether they're, like, sports fans or not, like, they probably watch the Super Bowl.
I went,
like,
and saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you probably went to a friend's house, had, like, dip and wings,
real
and
good food.
Cheese and pizza and all that stuff, like, just hanging out. But, like, at the end of the day, like, what your face was pointed to was probably the TV to watch at least some part of the game.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that's the cool thing about it is that, like, and then, like, Loyola was a huge thing. Like, not a sports school at all, probably from, like, the farthest degree.
So far away from it.
But, like, you have a team that does really well and, like, has a lot of success. So, like, and then you fill up a student center that holds, like, how many people? Like, a couple thousand?
Yeah.
Like, you fill it up, and it was on national television. So, like, that's the, you know, cool thing about it is, like, there's just so much camaraderie as compared to, like, other industries, and maybe I don't know as much, but, like, I think people that just, like, don't know as much will, like, will flock to it just because, like, you know, a team's being successful or just, like, some big sports events going on.
Yeah, like, a lot of things, like, going and watching a movie or something, it's like you can go with friends, but in the end you're just watching the movie quietly, and like it's a kind of a singular experience you're having, and then you might talk about it afterwards, but like it doesn't have that same connection with other people.
Yeah,
and I think that probably has to do with like the fact that you're watching other people live, and it's unpredictable, and you're kind of experiencing it with them.
Yeah. It's almost like a talking point, like the next day, like, oh, did you watch the Super Bowl? Like, hey, did you watch that big game last night? And like people are like, oh yeah, like, you know, like I was here when that happens, because like I think that, like, that's the live part about it. It's like, oh, this guy did this on the game, and so like you're like, oh, I was like in the middle of, like, you know, I don't know, something.
Yeah,
like, yeah, he's like, yeah, I was here when that happened. So that's the cool thing.
I mean, people will watch like kind of reruns, but like It's usually like if somebody's watching like a rerun of a game, they're like pretending like it's live, you know?
It ruins it. It totally ruins it for me. I will not like record a game. Like, we will change plans because I know a game is live. And I'm like, she's like, just record it. Or like someone's like, just record it. I'm like, nah, like it's not the same. Because like me with my phone, like I'm going to check the score, things like that. And so like, I have to watch it live. And I think that's the cool thing about sports. It's so, like, you know, it's just, it's so up to date and, you know, it's solely unpredictable. That's
the cool thing. Definitely. Yeah, what else do you want to talk about with sports?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think growing up, like, that was just kind of, like, you know, what I got obsessed with, of just, like, hanging out. And, like, that's probably where I met, like, most of my friends, just, like, through sports and hanging out. And it's just kind of been, like, a thing, like, throughout my life. But I think, like, if I'm going on the point of, like, the money thing and, like, the sports industry, like, I don't think people realize, like, just how big, like, of an industry, like, sports makes it. Like, I mean, like, I have, like, all the sports games that I play. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a part of it. And then, like, you know, you have all the apparel that you get. And then, like, you have, like, the reruns. You have the channels that are just obsessed with the sports. And you have, like, commentators. And, like, as I'm on Twitter, like, I'll be, like, scrolling through tweets about, like, sports and then just watching that. So, like, I think that's the thing that I like it, is that, like, it's almost, like, just kind of, like, it just in all parts of my life. And that's, I really like it because, like, obviously, like, I'm obsessed with sports. And so, like, you know, the more, like, I'm around it, like, I don't know, just that's what I enjoy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you're able to, like, get anywhere and everywhere. You can have it in your video games, and your clothing, phone, and your phone and all things. Everything. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's, you know, cool thing is that, like, you know, I think just following, like a team. I think, like, regardless of, like, if you're a huge sports fan or not, like, you probably have some type of team that you root for, like, for whatever sport. And so that was, like, really cool. Like, you know, you're from Chicago, you're like, oh yeah, I guess I'm a Cubs fan or a Bears fan or a Bulls fan or whatever. And so, you know, people just, like, get, it's just kind of like a camaraderie, just, like, you know.
Yeah, and like a loyalty.
Yeah. Like loyalty. So,
Here's a misconception I think I have about sports.
Okay.
Is that when you're rooting for a team, and then the people are traded to other teams, and then people from other cities are traded to your team.
Okay.
Is that even still your team? You know, like the whole thing about, like, if you have a boat and you replace the anchor on the boat.
Okay.
Is it still the same boat?
I know what you're saying.
Do you replace all the parts of the boat? Is it still the same boat? You know? Is it still the same team?
I think it's solely, like, based off, like, the sport. And which is kind of a weird answer, but it's based off the sport. So, like, football, it's your team. Like, 100% your team. Diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan. Like, things like that. So, like, regardless of who's on my team, like, I am rooting for that team. Like, that is still my team. Players, if they get traded to other teams or they decided to retire or whatever, it's like, hey, like, you know, thanks for your service. Like, nice to meet you, but, you know, you're a rival now. Other sports, it's a little bit different. I think basketball, so the NBA, I think it's definitely a players, you know, league. So not really a Bulls fan. There's no team in Kansas City. So I, like, will follow the Bulls just to be relevant with people. But I'm solely, like, a players, like, fan. So, like, LeBron James or, like, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Or, like, Kevin Durant. Just tell me when I stop and you haven't heard these names.
I have heard those names, yeah.
Good. I think that's, like, people that, you know, people in the NBA follow players as compared to teams. Just because it's common from people to bounce around to team to team. And the teams are a lot smaller and tighter knit. So, like, I think that's, you know, people, like, I would consider myself not a Chicago Bulls fan, but a LeBron James fan. Because I enjoy him as a player. I like to follow him. Like, that's what people kind of obsess with in that, that space. But then, like, football, it's your team. Whoever's not on your team is the enemy. Baseball, it kind of gets a little hairy in that sense. So, like, some people follow players. But also most people just follow the teams, in that sense. So I think it's kind of different. And, like, I guess to answer your misconception, like, it really just depends on the team or the sport of, like, what you're, you know, who you're following and what you're following.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that also, like, connects to, like, how people will, like, when somebody is talking about winning a football game or losing a football game, they'll say, like, we won, or, like,
yeah.
we...
You're whatever. Like, basically, it's like you're one of them. You're like, oh, yeah, we won or we lost or, you know, that sense. But, yeah, I think, like, that's why I kind of like the football atmosphere. It's, like, more of, like, a family atmosphere as compared to, like, you know, I guess if I'm getting really into detail, like, football, like, you can be really great at football, but if you don't have a great team around you, then, like, you're not that great. Like, some of the best players played on some of the worst teams, and they were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to basketball and baseball, like, you can be really good, and your team can be really great because of that. So I think that's why I love football so much, is that, like, it really is, like, a family team atmosphere that, like, you're only as good as, like, the guy next to you. As compared to basketball, like, LeBron James.
He can win a game on his own.
He can win a game on his own. Yeah. Probably 1-on-5 would be better because the other four guys aren't getting in the way. So I think that was the cool thing of, like, what I liked about football.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
So sell me on why should I love Kansas City Chiefs?
Why should you love Kansas City Chiefs? So very new. So the quarterback, so the head honcho of the team, his name's Patrick Mahomes. And he's like, I swear if you ask any Kansas City fan, he's like the second coming of Jesus. because he's crazy, like, talented, like, he does crazy, like in a game, live game, he's done no-look passes. Like, in football, like, that's unheard of. Uh-huh. Like, people don't do that. And he's our age, which is kind of the cool thing about it. Like, wow. I'm older than him. Shit. I'm a month older than him, which is kind of crazy. and so, he's crazy. And then, like, if we're talking about, like, you know, sports people obsessing over, like, all aspects of these athletes' life,
mm-hmm.
is, like, you know, this guy, like, they joke about him, like, there's a meme of him because he sounds like Kermit the Frog when he talks. And then, like, also, like, a huge spinoff of, like, a joke of Patrick Mahomes is, like, he admittedly on camera said that he likes to put ketchup on his steak.
Oh.
So, like, you know, it's just like, you know, people okay. like, okay. he's just kind of like a,
yeah.
I don't know, just a fun guy to pay attention to. And he's also like, he was the MVP, so the most valuable player in the NFL last year.
Oh,
so like, okay. he's just fun to watch, like really cool guy, like a guy that you'd probably just like grab a beer with and hang out with, but also stupid, freakishly talented at football. So like he made the game fun to watch on a weekly basis. So that's why, like, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are, like, up and coming this year. So that's why you should watch the Kansas City Chiefs.
So, but the appeal of them initially for you was just from...
Yeah. I think that was the cool thing is, like, hometown team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's basically you didn't know anything else because, like, my dad was a Chiefs fan. My grandpa was a Chiefs fan. It's almost like, you know, just the heritage of, like...
Yeah, legacy.
All of my, you know... friends back home were all Chiefs fans, so it's just like, I'm a Chiefs fan, like you don't know anything else, and mm-hmm. so like, you know, that was kind of like the appeal early on. People really frown down on people that aren't fans of the hometown team. You're almost like a bandwagon team. Mm-hmm. If you like anyone else, you're like, oh, why do you like, you know, that team? You're like, oh, because they're good. I'm like, why don't you like the team that's, you know, grew up 15 yeah. minutes from your house? So
because the point isn't to win, the point is just is that camaraderie.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So that's the cool thing about it. It's like, nice. Even like, you know, you're a fan when you win and you're a fan when they lose, and mm-hmm. so, you know, the fans that, you know, even when you're losing by a lot in these games, when the Chiefs were terrible or when the Kansas Jayhawks were terrible, like mm-hmm. you're still a fan of the team. So like, it's just like that camaraderie aspect.
Yeah. Nice. What about basketball players? Sell me on some basketball players.
Well, LeBron James. I mean, yeah. he had a vine. Like, the kid said LeBron James like 12 times in a 6-second video. So, like...
The rest is history.
Exactly.
That's why he's so good at basketball.
So, like, I don't know if I'm going to sell you that much on basketball because I'm not just a huge fan mm-hmm. of, like, basketball. Because, like, people, when people think basketball, people think NBA... But, like, I'm a huge college basketball fan, which mm-hmm. is actually, like, to be honest with you, it's kind of a dying sport.
Why is that?
People just don't pay attention to it as much.
Yeah.
And I think, like, there's so much, like, turnover. Because, like, obviously just people graduate and people go pro. And so, like, you know, there's any given year, like, you know, you could look at the roster and you're like, wow, this is completely different from last year. So I think people, when people think of basketball, they think of professionals because, you know, those professionals play for, like, the 15-20 years of like people that you've really flocked to mm-hmm. so like that's kind of why it's like dying. And like obviously, if I'm getting really nitpicky, it's like some of the rules that are going on and things like that. And so that's kind of, you know, people are, you know, downgrading, I guess, you know, basketball. So
I thought I heard somewhere that they're considering letting people go pro, like, right away.
Yeah. This gets me on a whole different tangent.
Go for it.
I firmly believe that, like, I think college athletes should get paid. Yeah. The reason why is because, like I said, it's a $1 billion industry. So, but without these players that aren't getting paid as college students, like, they don't see any of the money. So, like, without these college students, like, that's not a $1 billion industry. It's a $0 industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, these kids are athletes. And I think that, like, they should, I don't think, you know, maybe they don't shouldn't be paid a salary like you and me in our jobs right now. But I think they should be compensated in some way. But that also spins off to why people can go straight from high school to college, is from high school to pros as compared to high school to college to pros. So the NCAA made a rule that every in order to play in the NBA, so the professional, you have to spend 1 year outside of high school before you go pro. Naturally, college basketball is that place to do it. Like, technically, you can take a year off, but, like, there's nowhere the competitiveness of, like, playing in the college basketball arena that's going to give you that competitiveness. Some people go overseas for a while, but that's just not as competitive. And it's, you have to move to another country to play for a year to come back. So I think, like, I think solely from a money standpoint, like, if this person's really talented, like, why are you making them go to college when, like, you know, going, like, when they can just go make $1 million in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, you know, it's a catch-22. Like, yes, I think, you know, the average lifespan of a professional athlete is 3 years. Like, you wouldn't think that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what are these kids going to do 3 years after? And, like, yes, they should get their education, but I think ultimately, like, I think you should leave that up to the person to decide what they should do.
Yeah.
So, like, if they believe that, you know, I can go make millions of dollars, go and play at the professional level because I have the talent, like, who are you to say that you can't do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or if, like, I say, hey, you know what, like, I'm really talented, let me go get my education for 4 years and then go get, and then, you know, go to the NBA after that, I think that should be my decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, and also, like, just in terms of, like, college athletes, like, there's so much money in this industry that, like, I think, like, so college athletes are not able to sell their likeness. So, mm-hmm. like, if I was a really famous basketball player and, like, I can't sell my autographs, things like that. So, like,
can other people sell it for you?
Yeah, exactly. But you can't get any of that money. So, and then also, like, people, they can't sign shoe deals. Like, there's these, like, Nike and Under Armour and Adidas, they want to sign these college athletes for, like, millions and millions of dollars shoe deals. Can't do that.
Are these just because of rules in the NCAA?
Yep. So, I think that's, you know, just kind of the thing that, like, I'd say, like, you know, just as, like, you know, my beliefs, like, who is the NCAA to say, like, these kids want to do what they want? Obviously, like, you know, it saturates the NBA because then everyone's going to the, from high school to college, or from high school to the pros. But, you know, I think it's just better for the person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that, like, I think the athletes should be compensated in some way because they're, without them, it wouldn't be such a huge industry.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that the athletes should be able to go straight from high school to the pros if they seem that's fitting and their family and them decide that that's the best thing for them.
I mean, does it work as, like a filter, you know, for players? Like in a lot of jobs, you have to do a couple years, you know, of grunt work, you know, before you can actually start making money, like doing residency
before
you become a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, does it work like that? Is that have enough value?
I think so. But, like, I think it does find value. But then, like, if you're getting – so, like, if I'm getting into the weeds. So, like, there's this college basketball player that goes to the University of Duke. His name's Zion Williamson. And they think he's the next LeBron James. So, like, this awesome guy. He got injured last week. He's been out for 2 weeks now, or he got injured 2 weeks ago. He's been out for 2 weeks. This guy, literally, like, Nike's gone on record that he's going to sign, like, the biggest shoe deal in the history of shoes. He's also going to make millions and billions of dollars in the NBA because he's that good.
Wow.
But he got injured because he got injured in a college basketball game. And so he might not get that money.
Wow.
Because he's injured, so his value decreases to these teams. So who's to say, like, a guy like that can't just go straight from high school to the pros?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's better than some of the pros right now because he's just that talented. But they required him to go to school, and so he got injured. If he didn't have to go, he probably wouldn't have got injured. And, like, even though he got injured in the pros, like, he's still getting that money,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
So
yeah.
it does saturate them, but I also think, like, I just don't think, like, it's a little bit different from, like, residency because you're learning. Like, you're learning how to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy knows how to is a basketball player. So, like, why do you have to, you know, have him in – why do you have to keep him in college for something he can just go make millions of dollars right now?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. I've heard, like, little bits about, like, how college athletes are treated so poorly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if you think of it this way, and, like, trying to become, like, from an unbiased standpoint, like, if you think of it, like, in this way, so, like, they have to go to school. They go to the same amount of credits hours that you and I took. Like, they have to take 15 to 18 credit hours a semester. But on terms of that, like, they have to go to... You know, they have to go to weights in the morning, so they're waking up instead of you and I sleeping until 8, they have to wake up at like 5 or 6 to go do weights for a couple hours. And then after that, they have to go do practice for a couple hours. So like when you and I are sitting on the couch like procrastinating on our homework, like they're at practice. And then when they come home, they just did like 2 hours of practicing that, you know, they have to do their homework at like 10, 11 o'clock at night, even though that technically like we didn't have anything in that same time frame. And then, you know, they have games that they travel from, like, you know, all over the country or, like, all over the Midwest or whatever. So they miss class time. They're behind. Like, they're basically just learning on the fly in terms of these classes. And then, you know, they're still held to the same standard of passing their classes. I think, like, people would argue that, like, okay, well, what if you're working a part-time job? I think it's different because you're getting compensated.
Yeah.
To doing that part-time job as compared to the athletes, like they're expected to keep up the same standard and they're probably working just as much if not more than a part-time person in their job, but they don't get compensated for any of it.
They don't even get class credit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On the flip side of while their school is profiting hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of dollars from their likeness, like from them dribbling a basketball, throwing a football, like the school is profiting from that. But they don't see any of it. They're still from the high standard. They're dead tired. And so,
yeah. You know,
that's just my 2 cents of it.
It's good 2 cents.
Yeah.
And so in high school, you also did javelin?
Yeah. Probably, like, my favorite sport under the radar, like, of all time. Mainly reason is because, like, you're throwing a spear. like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And so... Like, I stumbled upon it my junior year of high school. My coach said, like, hey, man, just give this a try. And I was actually pretty good at it, and I saw some success. But, like, and it was also, like, if we're talking about the camaraderie then, like, so one of my really good friends, he threw javelin as well, and we just had, like, back and forth, like, who would throw farther,
mm-hmm.
you know, who was better. And so, like, you know, we would just watch javelin videos. Like, it's a really, like, under-the-radar sport, but, like, until, like, you try it, I think that's when, like, you really see it. And, like, the cool thing about it is, like, it's only legal in high school in 13 states.
Really?
Well, yeah, naturally, like...
I guess, like, it's just I've throwing a spear.
All, like, yeah. And so, like, I've almost, like... Honestly, like, almost, like, impaled someone because of it. So, like,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, it's a spear, like, and, like, they probably weigh, I'd say, like, 8 pounds. So it's like 8 pounds of just like, you know, just like a spear that you throw. And so that was like the cool thing about it. But like, you know, I also saw some success about it. And so probably my favorite sport, just in terms, cause like it's very individualized and like track and field is like that. But it's something that like most people don't think about. It's kind of like a cool, like touch point they talk about, like, oh, I threw javelin. But it's very like a unique sport. So that's why I love it. Like, probably if I were to, like, football is probably my favorite sport. If I were to pick, like, some individual sport that I could be really good at on my own, like, javelin's that number one thing.
Wow. Interesting. That, yeah, that's totally out of the blue.
Yeah.
That actually brings up, I totally forgot this whole time that I did a sport in high school.
Did you really?
I did cheerleading.
Oh, awesome.
It was a unique thing that I just kind of stumbled upon, and, like,
did you do it for, like, consecutive seasons?
Yeah, I did 3 years of it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And we went to state all 3 years.
Really?
But I thought of it because you're like, it's kind of cool. You get to throw a spear. Cheerleading.
You're throwing
chicks up in the air.
I had a teacher.
You're picking up chicks.
I had a teacher that like got really, like, she was a huge cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like coach of the cheerleading squad. She tried to get a lot of my friends, like all the football players. She's like, it would be really funny if we got all these like football guys to become cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
So we tried it. Once we did a couple practices, and then we did like a performance in front of the pep assembly, and then that was the end of that.
Yeah,
I'm like, nope, I'm not gonna do that.
it was fun because there was that, like, I really wanted to do it because I knew I wasn't a big sports guy and yeah. I wouldn't do anything like that.
Yeah,
beyond this, and I wanted to like stay in shape and I wanted to get like that.
Team. Oh, it keeps you active.
Yeah.
It keeps you, like, you got to lift people. You got to catch people.
Doing
you're
flips.
You're running from place to place. Yeah. Keeps you in shape.
Those dance moves.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And especially because there were so few guys on the team.
Yeah.
That the few you were with, like, there was, like, a special bond there.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I don't know how I went that whole time without thinking about that.
A lot of people don't think it was a sport, though.
Yeah.
You know, it is a sport. Because, I mean, like, whatever sport requires, like, athletic, just, like, physical ability,
mm-hmm.
like, I think that's a sport.
Yeah. Esports? I don't
know about that. I don't think...
Poker?
I don't consider NASCAR a sport.
Yeah, true.
Because you don't, you know, it's more, I think it's more mental ability than, like, physical ability.
These are some hot takes going on right now, but...
Yeah, it's hot takes, but, like, you know, I don't think NASCAR is a sport. But anything physical... that you require, like, mm-hmm. yes, then I would consider
if
that.
You have to work out to do it.
Yeah.
With your exercise.
Yeah.
I think that's redneck, a fair definition.
Redneck listeners are probably going to shut off at that.
Yeah. Point. I do have family in Arkansas. They might be upset.
I love Arkansas. There you
it's
go.
A great town. When I go down and visit, I actually, like, I did a road trip down there, and I asked my dad to borrow his Razorbacks jersey and hat.
Oh, really?
So I could wear that around and people...
And a lot of friends go to... University of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Spoiler, I was almost deciding between Loyola and Arkansas.
Oh, shoot.
Main reason because I got a full ride at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, looked at this, and I'm like, this is a great school, very successful, but do I really see myself here?
Yeah.
No. Like, I don't know if I could stay in Fayetteville, Arkansas for 4 years and then some.
Yeah.
So
It's a very pretty campus, and they've put hundreds of millions of dollars in that stadium. It's insane.
Money into the sports.
They're so bad.
Oh,
the team is so bad.
Yeah.
Like, even I know they're bad.
Yeah.
But it's fun. You see, like, I accidentally went and visited my grandma and aunt down there the same weekend as, like, as a Razorbacks game.
Yeah, yeah.
So the hotel's packed.
Oh, do they live in Fayetteville?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. There's not much to do there beyond the Razorbacks games.
Yeah. We've always gone down because we've gone to the lake, like Bull Shoals and like stuff like that. Like, you know, there's a lot of different lakes down there. But
yeah.
that was the main reason why I've gone down to Arkansas. Yeah.
Cool.
But I digress.
Yeah.
Sports, right?
Yeah, sports. Crazy. What are they? Well, so are there... What's some advice you would give to people on how to get into sports? How can I get into sports?
I would say, like, just try it. Like, I'd first, like, you know, pick a team that you enjoy. Like, whether it's, like, I think Chicago's pretty easy. So, like, you have the Cubs, you have the Bulls, you have the White Sox, you have the Blackhawks, you have the Bears. So, like, I would just pick a team and then just watch it. Like, you know, it's not that simple, but, like, I would just get a couple friends and, like, go get a couple drinks and go watch it and say, like, at the end of this, like, if you really enjoy it, then you enjoy it. And I think, like, if you try to do it by yourself, it's kind of weird because you're, like, great, I'm watching football, like, who cares? Like, if you get a couple friends and mm-hmm. you're just watching it together, then, like, you know, just like, oh, like, hey, you know what, that was pretty cool. Like, oh, hey, like, you know, that was a pretty cool sports play. And then, like, you just talk about it and you just get like, okay, well, you know, let's watch it next week and things like that. And you just kind of get hooked
mm-hmm.
In that sense. So, like, I think if you do it with friends, I think it's so much easier and you're going to enjoy it so much more. In that sense. So if you get in it, I would just try it. It's on TV. Like, it's just the same thing. You just, you know, channel 3 mm-hmm. If you want to watch a sports game and then go from there. So
what about going to see live games?
Also, it's a little bit discrimination in that sense because some sports tickets are really expensive.
Yeah.
It's like Bears tickets, like you can't get one for under $100.
Yeah.
So I think live sports games, like, I think that's a little bit different because you got to pick and choose just based off your monetary funds.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, you know, like Cubs, I think if you pick the sport that has the most amount of games, if that makes sense. So football, it's every Sunday for 16 weeks. So it's very few.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, it's 82 games for like a handful of months. Baseball, it's 162 games for an entire summer. So baseball, you're probably going to get the cheaper tickets. Like, you can go to a White Sox game for like $4.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Which is nice, and you just hang out. And yeah. Same thing with the Cubs. You can get Cubs tickets. Obviously, they're a little bit better, so it's like $10.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bulls tickets, like, you can go to a Bulls game for like $15, and you hang out and get around. And, like, these sports teams, they do a pretty good job of making, like, the atmosphere fun mm-hmm. for the sports watcher at the stadium. And then, like, if you can round up a couple dollars and you're really gung-ho about it, then I'd go to, like, a Bears game or any professional football game, and, like, that's, you know, you get pretty fired up about that. So I think, you know, pick and choose just based off your funds, but, you know, whatever you can afford, I would try it. And the same thing, like, bring a friend, bring two friends. Say, hey, man, like, do you want to chip in, like, $15 and go to this Bulls game and just, like, drink a couple beers and eat some food and, you know, have a good time? Like, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. If you don't, then go try another sport. If you don't, then maybe it's just, you know, sports just aren't for you, and that's not a bad
thing. It's nice to get out at the very least, exactly. Yeah.
It's the same thing as just going to, like, you know, play or
yeah,
you know, convention or whatever, or catch a movie. So
nice. Any other final thoughts you'd like to offer to the listeners at home?
I would just try sports. I think anyone could to try sports, like, whether you play it, if you're athletic or not, like, it's just kind of fun to get out and you're active and you're working out in some type of fashion. Obviously, this is coming from my biased standpoint, but I think, like, sports are a really cool thing. It's a really huge industry, and I think people, like, don't understand, like, you know, how big it is. So until you really just put it out there and try it, you never know. And so it's the same thing with anything. I think you just got to try it. And if you really enjoy it, then, like, you know, keep going. If you don't, then, like, it's just not your cup of tea.
Sure.
So I think try it. 100% try it, and then go from there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on Dumb Nerd Thing.
Oh, of course, man. Thanks for having me. I love it. I love talking about sports.
Anytime.
Thank you so much for listening to Dumb Nerd Thing. Now's the part of the show where I get to read fan mail, because now I technically have fan mail. So if you have anything you want to send into the podcast, you want to talk to me about something you're nerdy about, if you have any questions about anything, you can send it into dumbnerdthing@gmail.com. That's dumbnerdthing@gmail.com. I know, it wasn't taken. Crazy. Additionally, if you want to leave us a review, leave me a review, I guess. It's just me here. On iTunes, you know, and let me know what you think, if you have any advice on what to do. I got one. Thank you so much to Dottie_XOXO, who says, I love this. Super chill and super entertaining. Not only does Teddy have a super open mindset about so many different topics, but he really gets his guests to express how much they love their quote nerdy thing and why they love these things. This podcast is super important for people who have maybe hidden their enjoyment of something in fear of being made fun of, and it spreads a message of acceptance in a really fun and entertaining way. Thank you so much, Dottie. That really means a lot to me. I'm really glad you're enjoying it. And I think that is really important, because so many people are kind of shy about whatever they're nerdy about. But if you love something, shout it to the rafters. The first ever piece of mail I actually got for dumbnerdthing@gmail.com, dumbnerdthing@gmail.com, comes from Ron, who says, just listen to the interview with Colin about David Bowie. You can tell it's been a while since I've checked my fan mail. Best part is when you were asking Colin about Ziggy Stardust, and Colin was getting mad about saying, what are you, a Ziggy Stardust-ologist? And you're like, well, I'm supposed to be interviewing you about it. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Your band with him was funny. Looking forward to Jim Henson on the way home. Maybe you and Colin should do a podcast because I loved your banner with him. Looking forward to more shows. Thanks so much for writing in, Ron. You know, I love to do more stuff with Colin when he's available. He's a busy guy. And, you know, I think if more people are interested in doing in something like that, then I think we'd totally love to do something like that. You know, just talk about whatever we talk about. We talk a lot about dumb stuff and dumb nerd stuff. So, and then next one is from Tobar. I love this email. Greetings, Teddy. Thank you so much for your show. I find it very good, and I enjoy all of the topics and guests you have brought to the show. I have to say, I knew a bit of someone, and the ones I did not, I found them very interesting to hear. Please keep up the good work. You are doing great. P.S. Who do you think is the fastest Flash? Now, I do love the Flash. I do love DC Comics, and I love the Flash. And while I do love Barry Allen, Wally West. Wally West. Barry Allen ran so fast he rewrote time, but Wally West ran so fast he made it into our hearts. And, you know, I'm always just a big sucker for the successors, you know, the people that take over. I think we need to be more open to people taking over for these legacy characters. You know, we want, like, we want Robin to become Batman. We want Wally West to become the Flash. You know, we want Kid Rock to become Rock, you know. I think that's something we really need to figure out, is like letting our stories and characters grow up and become and evolve into new people, because everybody evolves and grows up into new people. So that's my answer. Wally West, every day. I don't care how badly he's treated by DC Comics. I don't care how many times they kill him. Wally West forever. And you can take that to the bank. Oh, man. Not crazy about that catchphrase, but thank you so much for listening to Dumb Nerd Thing. And as always, I guess I don't say something as always, but as always, keep it real. Thank you so much for listening.